Before I invite your attention to the Word of God, I want to call your attention to the candle of remembrance here in the sanctuary. Normally it is on second Sunday. That's the time designated a long time ago. And I apologize that it just did not occur to my mind this morning that this is the day for the candle of remembrance. And what it is to do is to serve as a reminder of those whom the Lord has called from our midst, who have lived among us and labored in God's service in the church here, and just to remember that God allowed us to enjoy their fellowship for a season, and now they're in greater company in the presence of the Lord. And so we remember that the Lord has let us enjoy them for a while and then taken them home. Sister Estelle McKelvin, the Lord took home in February. Brother Sonny Cook, the Lord took home in May. And Brother Joe Lewis, the Lord took home in June. And we know they're happy in the presence of the Lord. No doubt in our mind about that. But that's what the candle is there for tonight. And so each time that you glance at it, and as the service comes to an end and you look, it'll serve to remind you of those we have loved and who are lovingly remembered, though they have gone home to be with the Lord. I do want to invite your attention tonight to Psalm 103, and I've read in your hearing the first five verses. It's found on page 504 in the Old Testament in the Pew Bibles. This morning I called your attention to a portion of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 4, and I used the very first verse of that scripture reading. Tonight I've read to you five verses, and I'm going to use the second verse as the basis for our study of the Word of God tonight. Notice with me these words: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." The title of my sermon is Remembering God's Blessings. The Lord's good enough to give them to us, to enrich our lives by them. We need to make every effort we can not to forget His benefits or His blessings in our lives. So that's the direction I'm going in my sermon tonight, and that's what I'll be talking about in connection and in the light of this particular verse and those that surround it. So we need the Lord's blessings, don't we? We need His Holy Spirit and power in our midst. So let us bow our heads and lift our hearts and go to God's throne of grace. Our dear God and eternal Father, we do thank You for all the blessings of life. They are far too numerous for us to mention. And Lord, some of the great blessings that have come to our lives many years ago, we have no doubt already forgotten that they ever came. But whether we remember them or forget them in time, we want to say thank You, Lord, for all the blessings, great and small, that You have put in our lives and sent our way. And tonight, by the candle of remembrance, we have mentioned those brothers and sisters who have lived and walked among us, who have been a part of the life of this congregation, who have lovingly served You in this place with this people. And You have called them home to rest and peace. But we thank You, Lord, that we were blessed to know them, to love them and be loved by them, and to serve You along their side. And so, Lord, we're thankful for their memory, and we are thankful, Lord, for each one who is still left here, that together we might walk hand in hand and heart in heart, that we might serve You, Lord, in an acceptable manner. Bless me now to preach Your word by Your Holy Spirit. May I have a ready recall of Scripture and be able to expound upon it in truth. And bless Your people to hear with understanding hearts. Get glory, Lord, to Your name and to Your majestic and holy being and to Your Son and to Your Spirit through Your word in Your house by Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I noticed in reading this passage of Scripture, and I'll tell you why I read all these verses, because I was going to be addressing the second verse, and you'll notice it ends with a colon, and the next verse with a semicolon and a semicolon, and finally at the end of verse 5 there is a period. So what I'm going to be talking to you about tonight, and this second verse, is inseparably linked to the verses that follow it, so they're all woven together. So I wanted to read them and establish in your mind and heart some of the things, rather generic list, that David, and this is a Psalm of David, some of the things that he has remembered for which to say, "Thank you, Lord." Now, I know that we have no way to know at the age at which he wrote these. There are some people who speculate and say, well, he's likely an old man by this time, and he's looking back over his life and musing about all those things God's done. I have no way to know that. I can only tell you that at this point in his life, whether young or old, made no difference to him. He was remembering how God had been gracious and blessed him. And so look just quickly, I'm not going to get into them at any length, just simply to point them out in passing. He mentions first of all, "who forgiveth all thine iniquities." That's a spiritual blessing, folks, that God would forgive us all of our iniquities. Not some of them, but all of them. If he didn't forgive us of all of them, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Because you see, Jesus died for all our sins and iniquities, and he forgiveth us all our iniquities. It's a spiritual blessing. Now, secondly, in this verse, third verse, is a natural blessing, it seems. He says, "who healeth all thy diseases." You say, "well, preacher, I think I've known of some folks that had ailments they died with." Yes. But have you realized that if God did not heal us in life, he heals us in death? Because no matter what the disease known to man, when we die, that disease ends its effect upon our life and our body. So there is a healing even in death. First the spiritual, then the natural. And then he goes back again to say, "who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Oh, what a horrible destruction it would have been for us to forever have been separated from God and his fellowship. But he redeemeth us. He has bought us back, redeeming our life from destruction. There's a spiritual blessing. "And who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Again, a spiritual blessing in my understanding. And then the last one, "who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And it seems there primarily he's talking about the abundance of food that God has provided for us to eat to keep our bodies in strength and health. So spiritual blessings and natural blessings are all mentioned here. And it's as though the psalmist of Israel would say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits or blessings." And then he just could not restrain himself until he had enumerated some that were very important to him. Now your list of blessings might be altogether different. You may have many more than he has listed that you want to mention. But just don't forget the blessings of the Lord. I want to notice three things, and this verse of Scripture really lends itself to a threefold division. So it's not something I'm really imposing upon it. It's something that I see as I read it, and I listen to its words. The first division is the admonition and encouraging words to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Give him praise and glory. Acknowledge him in all his ways in our lives. Enumerate blessings he has bestowed upon us, and bless his name, and give him praise, and give him glory. And we ought to do that, brothers and sisters. We ought to do it from a grateful heart, to bless God. The Lord is worthy of our worship. Not the kind of worship that sometimes goes on. We have to guard ourselves against this. It's real easy to fall into the path of just coming in and sitting down and singing the melody and saying the words of the song and listening to a sermon and getting up and going home and calling it worship. Oh no, it's more than that. That's a part of it. That's really structured to pull us out of the world and into the frame of the spiritual realm to say, the Lord's been good to me and I want to bless His name. I want to worship Him. I want to give Him glory. It comes from a grateful heart, you see. If there's not gratitude in our heart, there will not likely be worship of our heart. And just going through the routine is not enough for God. You might remember back in the days of Ezekiel, he described a scene and situation which sounds a lot like us gathering. The people come unto thee, and they sit before thee as thy people, and they hear thy word. That all sounds a lot like what we're doing, doesn't it? We come unto the Lord, we sit before Him as His people, and we hear His word. But that wasn't the end of what He said. He said, they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart, get this, their heart goeth after covetousness. In other words, they'll talk about loving you, and they'll talk about worshiping you. They'll talk about blessing your name, but the heart's not in it. The heart's after something out there in the world. And I told you this morning that when we are caught in our own lust, and that's what Satan does to tempt us, we'll ultimately, if we follow that path, find ourselves in sin, which brings death. So we're not to just talk about loving God. We are to love Him passionately, love Him with all of our hearts, and bless the Lord because we love Him and we are appreciative of His goodness and grace. And so there are a lot of people, though, that just think, well, if I make a show, if I just appear, if I just go now and then, that's enough. It isn't. It isn't. Something out of the heart. Got to be involved if you're truly worshiping God. Now, even in the days when Jesus lived and walked on this earth, He found people still doing it. It wasn't just way back in Old Testament times when Ezekiel the prophet was alive and he observed people doing that. But all the way into the New Testament, Jesus said, woe unto you Pharisees, for as it is written, or well hath he saith, Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, saying, this people honoreth me with their mouths, but their heart is far from me. They teach for doctrines the commandments of, they worship in vain, for they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. That's in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. Do you know what Jesus was referring to? And I mentioned this morning how He would go back and get the Word of God, and that's what He used against Satan, to drive Satan away. Well, He's still doing that, see, in this passage. Even though Satan's not involved, He's still looking back and saying to the people of that day who are talking about loving God but not sincere in their heart, He said, Isaiah talked about you people, you bunch of hypocrites. That's what He was calling them. You pretend you love God. You pretend you want to serve Him, but your heart isn't there. You're just play-liking you're doing it. That's a hypocrite, pretending to do something we really aren't, to feel a way we really don't. So He called them hypocrites, and He knew He was God in the flesh. Do you know what He's talking about? Isaiah 59 verse 13 said almost those same words. In the days of Isaiah, in the days of Ezekiel, in the days when Jesus walked upon this earth, and brothers and sisters, I can stand to tell you, it's still here in the world today. There are many, many people who assemble in houses of worship on any given Lord's Day and just go through the ritual of worship. What we're being called upon to do is to do more than that. Listen, here's what Jesus said. Here's the way it ought to be. This is true worship, pure worship, worship at its best. God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus said, we are to worship God, who is a spirit. We are to worship Him in spirit and truth. You see, true worship is a spiritual exercise. It is not something we can just muster up in ourselves. We can't just like switching on a light switch and turning on a light. We can't just all of a sudden flip a switch and we're in spiritual mode and we're worshiping God. It's got to be something that grows in the heart and flows out of us to God. And we have to have the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. That's why he says in spirit and truth, and we have to have the Holy Word to know how to do that. How God wants us to do it. What God wants and commands of us. And the Spirit of God to give us understanding of it that we might obey God. So, if we're going to have this true worship, this genuine blessing God and praising and glorifying Him that flows out of a grateful heart, it's got to be done in spirit. It's got to be done in truth. It's not just a mouth thing when your heart's over yonder and your mouth's here. It's not that. So the psalmist, first of all, is calling upon us to bless the Lord. That's not all. He's calling upon himself also to bless the Lord. And that's the thrust of it here. That's the second thing I want you to see tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, it's not enough for you to bless the name of God. I need to do it. It's not enough for somebody on the other pew to bless the name of God. You need to do it. I need to do it. And so the psalmist is doing something that's rather difficult for most of us. And that is, he's having a little heart-to-heart talk with himself. He is saying that I need to bless the Lord from my soul. It's not just about preaching it to somebody else and then not doing it. It's about teaching somebody else and being sure we do it ourselves. Having a talk with himself. Notice he does that twice. Up the preceding verse, verse 1, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is for me, he's saying. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Twice, you see. He's saying, this is something I need to do. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you got more influence on you than anybody else. I found out a long time ago when God called me to preach and I began pastoring churches, I found out I can preach whatever I want, I can talk to people that I'm blue in the face, but until you get ready to obey the Word of God in your heart, you want to do what He says, I'll never talk you into it. You'll listen to my sermon, you'll drop it outside the door and let the devil throw it in the trash can for you. You'll go home in the course of the week and you won't think of a thing I said. It's got to be in the heart. It's got to be a soul thing that's deep inside of us. And you can have the best talk with you of anybody. I talk to you. You might nod your head and walk away and say, well, I wish he'd have kept his mouth shut. It's none of his business. But when you talk to yourself, that's where it gets to helping you out. You know, you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. You always heard, I don't want to talk to myself, somebody will think I'm crazy. But I think the best answer to that is, you might have a problem when you start answering yourself. If you talk to yourself and answer yourself, you might have a problem, I don't know. But just to have a talk with yourself, nothing wrong with that, as long as our talk is right beside the Lord. Now, there's some cases of those who were not always. There was a man, remember, Jesus talked about, he said, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he possesses, not about how much land you got or how much money you got in the bank or anything like that. And the reason he taught this lesson is because there were two brothers, and the older of them, which under Jewish law and custom, as I understand it, had control of dispersing the finances at death. But the younger one says, speak to my brother, did he divide the inheritance with me? And Jesus said, but a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And then he gave them a parable to show and illustrate that. And they'll do that for us tonight. There was this certain rich man. And I just kind of put it in story form very quickly for you. It's found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 and verses 17 through 19. And his field brought forth plentifully. And he said with himself, or to himself, what shall I do? I have no room in my barns. And then he thought in himself, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down those barns and I'll build greater to bestow all my goods. And I will say to myself, now listen to this. This is a little talk. This is what he said. I will say to myself, eat, drink, and be merry. You know what God said? Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then whose shall these things be? Now, the kind of talk he had with himself was not a very good conversation, because he was only thinking about himself. We need the kind of conversation that prodigal son had over in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. He got tired of home life, ready to travel, go see things, do things daddy wouldn't let him do. He goes to his father and he said, I want my part of the inheritance. I don't want to wait till you die, so to speak. I want it right now. And the father obliged and gave him his hat. He went off into a far country, Bible language, and he wasted his substance on riotous living. I tell you, I mean, he threw it all away and hits kind of almost to the bottom. He finds in this job that wasn't good for any good Jewish boy. I was feeding hogs, because hogs were unclean to the Jews. They couldn't eat them. Not supposed to partake of it. There he is in the hog pen, feeding hogs and eating what the hogs ate. And then we're told there in Luke 15, 17 through 19 again, it's interesting, the same verses, began to think within himself, how many hired servants of my father's house have meat enough and to spread, or bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You see, he was talking with himself. He was pondering it internally. I'm going home. I'm going to plead my father's forgiveness. I know I'm not worthy for him to take me back as a son, but if he'll just let me work there, that'll be all right. Now, his was a good conversation. See, it turned him in the right direction. The psalmist was talking about what he would do. He's talking with himself, and it turns him in the right direction, points him in the right direction. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Now, the third thing that he does, and I want you to see this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And the second thing I want my soul to do is forget not all His benefits. He didn't want to forget God's blessings. You know, it's an easy thing to forget. If you figure that out, you don't even have to try to forget things. I'm up here one night with a turned off unit. I put it on and forgot the batteries went dead this morning. It's easy to forget. I forget without even trying. Don't tell me you don't. Because you do. It's part of the human experience. I was reading something very recently that I'd written 41 to 42 years ago. And I was complaining then about how forgetful I was. I'd forgotten that. But it reminded me that I have been forgetful at other times. This has not just started since I've accumulated more years. But it's in your life too, because you tell me from time to time, ooh, I forgot that. You know, the Bible talks about be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For whoso looketh into the law and forgetteth what manner of man he is, he looketh at himself in the mirror of God's word and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. In other words, I come and I look in the Word of God. I take the Word of God and I look at myself in it and I see my flaws and imperfection and I turn around twice and I forget what God was telling me. Easy to do that. But He doesn't want to do that. And I don't want to do that. And I don't think you want to do that. I don't want to forget the blessings of God. The Lord's been too good to me. A lot God gave in the year 2013. It's just good to be able to go back and kind of walk through some of the highlights of your life and some of the great special blessings. You might recall being sick, but you got well. It might be a blessing you've gotten some job or some promotion, or might have been, you know, something else that came to your life that you had been wanting and God just seemed to open up the doors for you. Don't forget how good God's been to you. Don't forget in this year of 2014, don't forget the benefits and blessings the Lord has bestowed upon you. We are to bless the Lord and forget not all those daily benefits that He loadeth us with, even our salvation. God gives us so many temporal blessings, but the greatest of all His blessings is our salvation from sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't forget that. Don't forget God to start with. Remember Ecclesiastes 12. Remember now, he's talking to the youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil years draw not nigh, nor thou the years when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I see older people there. Sometimes they talk about, you know, they just don't care to eat anymore, got no appetite, got no taste for anything. Can't do anything much but sit around. You know, just the joy of their life is to a great degree gone from them. Those years come. If we live long enough, we're going to get old. If we get old enough, we'll become decrepit before we die. But while you're young, young folks, please. I've known young folks go off to college and quit going to church because mom and daddy made them. They wasn't going to go to church anymore. Wasn't going to worship God. They became independent. They'd do what they wanted to do. And they wasn't go to church. But don't ever let your life fall into that path of Satan. Remember how good God's been to you. Give you loving parents who take care of you and provide for you. Who try to direct your paths in life. Brought you into the world and provided for you and will do it as much as they can through the years ahead. God has blessed you. Don't forget how good the Lord's been to you. If you believe you've been saved, don't forget that. If you believe Jesus died for your sin, don't forget that. And none of us should. Isaiah said He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. And I believe that Brother Peter in the New Testament kind of had his eye looking at that when he said, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. You see, he's using the same language Isaiah used. But both of them are reminding us of what Christ has done for us. It's the greatest blessing you'll ever have. I say that without any reservation. You'll never have a blessing greater than the blessing that Jesus came and took your place and died for your sins and saved you by His amazing grace. Don't forget God, and don't forget God's blessing of salvation. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Blessing after blessing after blessing. You know, the man, I heard this many years ago, I think you've heard it. The man who complained about having no shoes until he saw the man who had no feet. I got shoes on my feet and I got 2 feet. I got a double reason to thank God, don't I? Thank you, Lord, that I got legs that carry me. And I got feet to walk on. There's some people who don't. And thank you, Lord, that I got shoes. There's some people who don't. See, it's so easy if we really think about it to be thankful to God and not forget His blessings. And you come through every week, and it's so easy then, as just the week has passed, to come in the Lord's house and look back on the week that has passed and just think of all the blessings. You might have made a new friend. You might have made a wonderful grade on a test. You might have got a little encouragement at your job. You know, whatever it is, whatever God did for you, think about it. Maybe your walk in the week was a little closer and nearer to God. Think about it. And thank God. Forget not all His benefits. James said, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1 verse 17. Don't forget those blessings. God has blessed you. He's blessed me. This is a great admonition as we face the new year, folks. I think that's why God put it on my heart. Bless God. Give Him praise, glory, worship. Let it be that we decide in our heart, in our own soul, this is my duty. My soul, not another, but my soul needs to bless His name. And I need to be the one who refuses to forget all His benefits. I think when you think about them, you'll want to worship and praise Him. Because that's what the psalmist did. I move now a little further over to Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. The psalmist is looking beyond. Here he said, I need to do it. And then he's looking around, sadly to say, a lot of folks who are richly blessed never seem to appreciate it, never go to church, never seem to thank God for it, never mention the name of God, never give Him glory, as if they just got it on their own. But oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and wonderful works to the children of men. That's us. Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. Four times. That's His word. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Let us not forget all His benefits, but enumerate them frequently. And as we see them one by one in our lives, let's thank God for them. You don't have to be in church to do it. It's a good place to do it. It's good when you come here to look back over your week and say, thank you, Lord. Made it another week. I've gotten along well, thank you, Lord. No great tragedy, thank you. No serious illness, thank you. Didn't get fired, thank you. Blessing after blessing, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, help us. For His glory and our joy is my prayer for Christ's sake.